Hello, it's Jamie from My Dad Wrote a Porno. Now, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without my dad writing some really terrible erotic literature. And Rocky Flintstone has not disappointed this year, because 2018's Christmas Porno Special is available right now exclusively on Spotify for 2 weeks only to get you in the festive mood. Not only that, but you can listen to all 4 seasons of My Dad Wrote a Porno, as well as thousands of other amazing podcasts, all for your oral pleasure. Just head over to Spotify and start listening now.
How do you fancy the chance to shape the podcast industry? To tell us which shows, which sponsors, and which content you want to hear more of? To change the face of podcasting forever? I mean, it's not going to change your life or anything, but the Acast podcast panel is a pretty cool thing to be part of. Oh, and we'll pay you for your time. Can't say fairer than that, eh? Head to podcastpanel.co.uk and register your interest.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Valentainment.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Susie going toe-to-toe bin. Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Mina, coochie-coochie-coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as usual, is the warm and cuddly Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
What up, Ben?
Howdy doody. So it's Monday, and there's a lot of stuff we have to talk about right here at the top of the show. We usually have stuff to shill, and today is a very shilly day, but you have to listen to this. This is important because we have an announcement. First of all, as you know, we have tickets on sale for shows in Dallas, Irvine, and Vancouver, okay? So go get your tickets for those shows. Those will be great. We have 2 more cities to announce. On Thursday, tickets are going on sale for Washington, D.C., and for Boston. So go get your tickets to those shows on Thursday. We sold out in both of those cities last time. We did 2 shows in both those cities, and they all sold out. So those tickets are going to go on sale at 10 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. So be sure to go to WatchWhatCrappens.com and buy your tickets to there. To those shows, because those will be amazing. We have these great cities coming up. There'll be more cities to come. Go get your tickets, people. We're going to have a big old party time. Don't worry if you're going solo. It doesn't matter. You'll have an amazing, amazing, amazing time. We know because we were just in Nashville last week, and there were a lot of solos there, and they basically told us that their lives have been permanently changed in a good way. So there's that.
Those are going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
So just to recap, Dallas, we have a second show, February 8th, and D.C. and Boston. Right, yeah, everybody?
By the way, the D.C. show is at the world-famous 930 Club, which is apparently the club that, like, anyone who's anyone has gone through the 930 Club, and now is our moment. So I know you want to see us there, so go get your tickets.
It's our time to start at the 930 Club.
Yes. Yeah, so that was the big news.
We are going to be parting our little faces off. So go get your tickets. Now, for the rest of Christmas, since it's a little late to be buying your Christmas shirts, you jerk, if you didn't buy one, You missed out. Well, actually, you didn't. You can still buy it.
Yeah.
But for Christmas, for the rest of the holiday, and for Hanukkah, we are putting up all of the shirts we've sold this year. So you can get any of our limited edition shirts for 2 weeks only. Go over to crappinsmerch.com or just find the links where you'd find ticket links at watchwhatcrappins.com. Okay?
Yeah. You want to get those. They're awesome. Those are awesome shirts. Ronnie, you're really killing it. Killing it.
Killing it. We'll have a new one for the new year. And then Ben and I are both on the TV Party app streaming. You can get that on iPhone or Android, whatever. TV Party app. This week, I'm not sure what I'm going to do this week. I'm thinking I'm going to do a post show for Dallas and Jersey.
Yeah.
So if you, I might change my mind and do one for Pump Rules, but I think it's going to be Dallas and Jersey. So just check our Instagrams and Twitters and all that stuff.
I was actually thinking of doing a Pump Rules viewing party tonight myself.
Well, then you go ahead. Then there, I will answer my question.
I went on the TV Party app after my birthday party on Saturday night when I was drunk, and I started reading passages out of Becoming by Michelle Obama. So that's the fun with that app. You never really know what you're going to get when we start streaming, and it's always going to be a fun time. So thank you to those people who are up late at night with me and enjoying me reading passages from that book.
Yeah. So let's get to today's recap. We've got a full Bravo schedule right now. So this week, we are going to be doing 6 free shows, everybody. So there's an extra show this week. You can find Jersey and Top Chef from last week. We talked about them on this week's bonus.
Yeah.
But this week, we are actually, since we have Real Housewives of Orange County ending and Dallas ending, we are going to do 2 full recaps of those shows as well as the rest. Top Chef will probably still hold for bonus.
Yeah.
But don't worry, there's extra content this week. So
yeah.
Coming back, our little lovies. Yes.
As when things like this happen, I always say just like hit that subscribe button, sit back, and let the episodes come to you. Let them come to
roll you. Over you.
Yes. So we're going to start this week off by talking about Real Housewives of Orange County and the part 3 of the reunion, which was very exciting. We got to some big stuff. The part 3 opened up with the Kelly segment. It was, we got to see Kelly being silly. It was like the fun Kelly thing where we saw her taking Jolie to a soup kitchen or like hanging out with Michael and all that fun stuff. And we see her like with the milkman and being like, he has a PhD, a pretty huge dick, a pretty huge dick.
And so, Andy gets to say PhD a lot.
Yeah.
He's like, Kelly upgraded to a PhD. And we all know what that means. Huge dick. Like, okay, Andy. Calm down over there, you.
And then when it comes out of like the clip montage, Andy's like, so he has a PhD. A lot to unpack here. It's like
with no irony.
Yeah.
Now I love anger and fighting, you know, and in my own life as well.
Yeah.
But I also really love true unabashed joy. And yeah. You really get to witness that when you see Kelly watching her own segments on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. She's like a little kid at Christmas. She is just like her biggest fan, and I love it. You know, as someone who just laughs at themselves all day long.
Yeah.
I just have to give a shout out to Kelly's joy in her own being.
It was basically like me at 8 years old going to Camp Breezemont and learning that one of the activities was like movie making, and there was like this big old like VHS recorder, and we would like make movies, and then we'd like put the VHS and the VCR on, like at our shitty home movies, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I can't
believe guess what this. You still do that, so we literally still do that.
I mean, TV Party,
just as a joke. Yeah. So when we come back from her clip package, she's like, yeah,
huge clip package
with Michael's huge. She's like, Michael doesn't like to see that stuff. And Andy's like, yeah, it's pretty gross. Like, you making out at the table, and then everybody just gets grossed out. Like, we didn't have to sit through a fucking Tamara bathtub scene.
Yeah.
And or like, a Vicky, any Vicky scene, really.
Yeah. Vicky goes, it was wet. It was wet. It was a wet kiss. It was wet. Just like Vicky just like shunning this, shaking, doing her like little like mini shake, like she's getting like shocked with a Duracell battery, like a low level shock.
I know, it's like calm down over there honey
yeah,
you're may bathing suit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think I've lost. Did I lose your connection? I think there
what
was
happened?
Like,
were you texting?
I was not doing anything. You just started talking about Vicky's bathing suit, and suddenly your voice was like and disappeared. Like,
yeah, the internet even Skype is sick of Vicky's fucking bathing suits.
Okay? Skype was like, I think I may need to disconnect this conversation. It's going in dark and disgusting places.
Yeah, it's like, you don't pay enough for this. The Skype.
So then Andy's talking about how Kelly dumped a guy for being cheap and not buying her sunglasses. And she's like, no, I'm not cheap. Like, don't make me seem like I'm cheap. Like, that's a no bueno, okay? And he was old as mold.
And he's like, well, you moved on quick. So how's Michael doing? She's like, yeah, he's a full-on girlfriend. I've never met her. And Vicky's like, I have. Yeah, I've met her. Like, shut up, Vicky.
Yeah.
You know, can Vicky just be quiet for 2 seconds? She keeps getting herself in so much trouble. Just sit there in your weird crop top silk curtains outfit. Be
yeah,
quiet.
That awful, awful outfit. Like, it's like Princess Jasmine gone way wrong. And she's like, no, I don't think it's a match made in heaven, which I do believe in because I have a moral compass, Gina. Anyway, and I will get in. I will get in before you. And
it's, you know, heaven, a match made in heaven, where Jesus lives, who's real and should live in your heart as well. But yeah. Gina wouldn't know. So
yeah, woohoo! I'm in heaven. Brian Adams, I'm in heaven. So
yeah, they're not a match made in heaven because she's a lot younger, like 38. Gross. Like, I mean, look, here's a match made in heaven. You meet a man without teeth. If you teach him to get teeth, then he can get his own teeth. But yeah, then if you give him teeth, he'll just expect you to give him teeth forever, which is heaven.
Yeah, here's a match made in heaven. You're honey, and you want to take your man upstairs, and instead he wants to open up a sausage jar. That's a match made in heaven, right there. Restraint. He opened it. So
I feel
yeah,
like 38 and a 60-year-old, that's a big age difference. Big, but it's just me. It's just me. That's just me. It's just my opinion. Woohoo.
Kelly's like, well, I'm 43. I'm 43. She's like, no. It's not going to work because she's older than – she's younger than him. She's like, oh. I just like that concept was like very difficult right there at the reunion.
Yeah. The question, somebody from somewhere is like, hey, Vicky didn't like that Kelly talked about sex so much, but then Vicky talked about BJs with her own son. So why can't Kelly talk about sex with her kid? It's like, her kid's 11. Okay. My kid is like 33, whatever he is.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, okay, here's the difference. Jolie is 9 and Michael is hot. Okay, I just said it. There we go. I said it. So does Kelly want to settle down? And she's like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, she sort of like hedges her answer a little bit. And we learn that Shannon set Kelly up with a guy, but she doesn't like the guy because he argues with Kelly too much. And Shannon's just like, young love, I'm not jealous at all. I'm not jealous at all. I just keep throwing men at her, and she just turns them away. And the best I could do is date a cardboard cutout of an old Burt Reynolds movie.
Cannonball Walk.
Yeah.
One of the best movies Burt ever made.
Yes. It's a very calm and collected movie.
Well, I was hoping they could get to that point in their relationship when she tried to make a crunchy quinoa. And the guy I set her up with disregarded it and ate chips as he stared at her bug-eyedly. But I didn't make it, so.
I'll tell you who's a real gentleman is Dom DeLuise. Mainly because he appreciates a good cream cheese and salmon situation. I learned it from him. It was inspired by him.
Until he takes a walk on the beach and sees that whore Lonnie Anderson playing sand volleyball.
Too much sugar in his sauce on his short rib. That's what I say.
So next up, they're like, Kelly tosses little people in Irish pubs. What do you think about that? And then we see the clip of her yelling at Shane and Steve. You're a fucking dork is what you are, yeah. Fucking pussy. He's a bitch. He's a little bitch.
Yeah, Andy's like, so Kelly, you hurled a bunch of insults at Shane. You saw that he was a dork. A loser, a little twerp, a little pussy, a little bitch, the world's worst, elf on the shelf, a human pimple, a tree branch that was turned into a man, and that man turned out to be a shit, so it was turned into a tree branch again, but didn't get quite right, so it was half tree branch, half shit.
No one knew what cornhole candy was. Sorry, I've Got a cold, everybody. So I
what? I'm so confused.
Am I back?
You're back. No, but I thought that all I heard you say is no one knows what cornhole candy is.
Then you got it. I was just thinking of like little kid insults.
Oh. You called him a stapler with arms.
You called him a nutless Snickers bar. So that one didn't go over too well. It's like, well, he is. And when they show that clip of her just hurling abuse at Shane. They show her like laughing and smiling with one eye kind of cocked because she got like a weird kind of Botox this episode. So one of her eyes is like kind of Popeye cocked and then she's laughing at herself. And then it cuts to Emily and Emily's just like, smell the fart. She has smell the fart face.
Yeah, she has full on fart smell fart face. Yeah. And then I love Kelly's whole logic during this is like not good logic. It's good. It's like very self-serving logic, and yet I loved it all because they're like, so Kelly, did the punishment fit the crime? To me, it did. She's just like, for me, that's all I care about.
Yeah, and Emily's like, yeah, but what did he even say to you that was that bad? And she's like, what? You were drunk?
Yeah.
She starts doing this like Shane as Gollum crawling up the side of the volcano. You know?
So my funny. Precious. My precious.
That precious is too young. That I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
How about you date a King of the Rings? How about that?
They ring is too young. No, no. So then Gina's like, it was disproportionate. It was a disproportionate punishment.
Maybe to you, not to me. What are you, the morality, please?
So then it's like, would Tamara be mad if Kelly name-called Eddie? And then Kelly's like, he name-called me. He name-called me, though. He name-called me.
And then Tamara's answer is so funny because she's like, well, if Eddie said something, that was a said that he deserved it. I'm like, Eddie has basically called Shannon a fucking manic depressive loser who's sucking you dry. So Shannon actually does have the right to do that. And she's not doing it. Tamara, you liar.
Yeah.
And also, I'm just pointing out what Tamara says, not because I give a flying flip, but because she is constantly answering everybody else's questions in this reunion. And then she gets mad at somebody else for answering someone else's questions.
Exactly.
Hypocrite.
Why do you talk for her ass? Why are you always talking for her? I'm like, that's all you do, Tamara. That's literally all you do. Yeah. So then Kelly goes back into the greatest hits, and she's like, if you want to throw a bomb at me, I'll throw a nuke. And Emily's like, that's your line. I've heard it. Get new material. I'll get new material. It's called underpants, like the kind that Shane wears over his head when he gets beaten up by bullies, I bet. Huh, what a dork.
New material. Okay, I did. She goes, I did write material. I didn't even need it. How about you get your husband in tow? Get your little bitch under control. New material.
Check out this new shit. Your husband's a little bitch. Oh, wait. That's old material. I don't even care.
And she's like, what you said was disproportionate. She goes, who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares?
Disproportionate. Who cares? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's new material.
An elf for an elf. She's basically, Kelly logic is like, well, I don't care. Who cares? Like, whatever. You can't get me. Who cares?
So and what? Then she's like, then she just starts quoting the Bible. I mean, only Orange County, really.
Yeah. So then it's like, you know, you said you would kill him. You said you'd kill him. It's against the law. Talk about being bigger. She can't say disproportionate. She gets so caught up in it.
You're disproportionate.
So
Shannon's like,
well, you want to talk about disproportionate? Emily threatened to murder Kelly.
Ha! I'll tell you what else is disproportionate. The amount of my waistline compared to how many calories I actually eat. How's that happen?
You want to talk about fair?
So Emily's like, oh, yeah, Shannon, we've heard. My mom keeps butt dialing, by the way. I hope that doesn't mess up our recording.
Mother. mother.
She doesn't even keep her phone in her purse. I don't know how she keeps butt dialing me, but I've answered it 3 times, and she's talking about some Mexican food restaurant. She's like, they're Mexican food. Let me tell you, it's the best. I'm like, oh, jeez. How does this keep happening? Okay, everybody. Sorry for putting it
through that. It's important to share that information.
But seriously.
Someone needs to know about that Mexican restaurant.
It just keeps popping up. Rhonda. You're not calling me, mother. You're calling guacamole.
So Emily is now like, lawyer Emily, she's like, it's only a threat if the other person reasonably thinks the other person is going to reasonably think that the first person is going to reasonably think that the third person reasonably thinks they're going to kill them.
Well, objection, because when you have to be restrained from killing someone, she goes, I'm not talking to you.
It's like, whoa, Jolly Green.
And then everyone just starts mocking Emily, like, oh.
And Kelly goes, whoa, get your finger in her mouth.
Yeah.
Get your finger in her mouth.
It's against the law. It's against the law.
It's just like that Emily turns into giant voice whenever she's really mad. She suddenly is like, you.
She needs to be unleashed more.
Who stole my golden harp?
Ho, ho, ho. She turns into Chris. From
Oh, baby.
People need to unleash the Emily monster more because it's fantastic.
Yeah, and then Shannon's like,
well, calm down. I'm just saying, calm down, Emily, calm down.
Which is exactly what you say to Shannon when you want to see her spin out of control.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Tamara's just laughing. She's just loving all
this.
Yeah,
Tamara's loving this. She's got a pursed, like, but open-lipped laugh that she does. Like she's, like, trying to bite down on a really big straw.
Yeah.
And then Shanna's like, just keep shaking, girl. Just keep shaking. And Kelly goes, oh, she's saying disproportionate. Look at this. Hilarious. What a farce. New material.
I just want, for the record, when I said keep shaking, I was not being aggressive to Emily. I was simply telling my daughters how to make the nacho mix for later tonight. Just keep shaking it out of the packet. That's it.
So then Kelly's like, I really thought you were going to kill me. I did. I watched Snapped. I watched Criminal ID. I watched Wives with Knives. This holds up in court very well, Kelly.
And Gina goes, really, Kelly, you were scared? She's like, yes! There's a show called Snapped!
It's real! It airs on Oxygen, which is owned by the Comcast family of networks!
And Andy's like, Kelly, Emily, do you regret going there with Kelly and threatening to murder her? She's like, yes, and I said so in my blog, Andy! And Gina's like, she was embarrassed, Andy. She was really embarrassed. And then Tamara goes,
why do you two talk for each other?
Shut up, Tamara.
Why is Tamara in that seat? Why? Why is she in the main seat, like the main fight seat? I know that she's caused everything, but all she does is cry and deny everything and get into the middle of everyone else's fight. And she's trying to be the host of this show, okay?
Yeah.
We don't need you here, ma'am.
Yeah. So, hey, Kelly, why were you telling Emily to hit you? She's like, so I can hit her back. I want to hit her back. It's fun. They did it on Snapped. Have you ever seen that? Such a good show. Such a good show.
And then she turns right to the camera and smiles in it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, Kelly, you said again in your blog that she's a little bitch. So why would you do that even after you apologize? She's like, because obviously you don't even talk to your little bitch. She's like, it's not even different. And Tamara's like, yeah, you make excuses is what she's trying to say. And Kelly goes, yeah, you just say snarkasm. Like, that's going to excuse everything.
Yeah. Well, most importantly, it was that when Andy was reading from the blog, he goes, you wrote, I said it then and I'll say it again. He's a little bitch. And Kelly goes, and a dork. And a dork. That's a dork. She's like, I want to make sure that's in there.
Quote me right.
Yeah. So, Emily's like, listen, Kelly, If you and I are friends, you can't call my husband names. At which point, Kelly then pivots to her other Kelly persona, which is, oh, no, of course, of course. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I would never. No, I would never. Kelly.
You just yelled little bitch like 30 times.
You just like are. You just made sure. You went out of the way to include dork into what Andy was just saying. And then you're like, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I would never.
And then Emily goes, okay, accepted. And then to Shane, I would say, and Tamara jumps in and goes, don't get that bomb, da, bitch. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah. So then Andy's like, okay, well, that seems like a good resolution, I think. I'm not really sure. I'm too stoned.
Yeah. He's like, okay, now let's talk about something severely horrifying. Vicky twerking. She's like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. Brianna saw that. She said, never do it again. Look, I just looked off. I don't even want to look at it. I'm going to cover my face and masturbate while this clip plays.
great clip, Andy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Nana Vicky loves twerking. Why did I write that?
That's what he said. Oh. He's like, Nana Vic, we learned that Nana Vic likes to twerk. Like, oh my God, oh jeez.
Yeah, exactly. So then Andy starts asking Shannon about her farting. Someone called and was like, Shannon, I'm surprised you needed paddles for your raft. It could have been self-propelled with all your gas. And she's like, ha! 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 30 to 40 negative gas moments. Hey, those microphones catch everything. Like, when I secretly call David and say, David, do you still love me a little bit? Just a little bit? David!
I'd like to thank the dairy industry, for giving me this award so kindly bestowed upon me by Tanya from Toluca. You guys, that was a good one, Tanya. God.
So, Vicky, why were you dressed so terribly in Jamaica? And she's like,
Tell me, shut up, shug it off so much.
She's like, I'm never wearing that again. I didn't realize how it looked until I saw it on television, which is also why I get a facelift mid-season now.
Like, are there reflective storefronts in the Orange County? I'm not buying this.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that's like the fun part of Jamaica. But then we start to segue into the crazy part of Jamaica when everyone starts screaming and using their outdoor voices. You know what? Speaking of which, Ronnie, have you heard about outdoor voices?
Yes, I sure have. I'm wearing a pair of them right now. And you know what? These ladies would do better. They wouldn't be so angry if they got outdoors more, worked out a little bit, stopped stressing out.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about outdoor voices. Outdoor voices makes high quality active apparel to take you from the gym life to everyday life seamlessly and fashionably. Ha!
Outdoor voices believes that harder, faster, stronger is not necessarily always better. So they decide gear for doing things, being active, and having fun. Woohoo! The woohoo kind of fun.
Hey, bitch, whether it's through events or their dedicated hashtag on social, hashtag doing things, the brand is uniting exercisers who live for fun, bitch.
It's available for both men and women. Oh, Outdoor Voices clothing is made to sweat in. Whether you're hoping to add versatile pieces to your wardrobe or looking for an activity-specific collection, like running shorts, Outdoor Voices has gear for everything.
Freeform is a cozy and soft material perfect for stretching activities like yoga or hanging out at the casita doing your exercises. Also, Outdoor Voices clothing is engineered for performance and designed for having fun, with the fabric offered for every single type of activity. How about that?
And like I said, I really am wearing a pair of these joggers right now. They are so comfortable. I'm wearing the Rec Trek jogger, personally.
Oh, look at you.
I love it. I wear it out. I wear it to walk the dog, wear it to Starbucks, wear it to Whole Foods. I'm like, hey, it's me, the Rec Trek.
Yeah, and I, in an effort to try to get back into shape, I have started swimming again, and I have some Vermilion swim trunks from Outdoor Voices. So, you guys, it's been working. It's been working out for me.
Yeah, this is some fantastic stuff. So to get yours, okay, you can get 20% off your first order of $100 or more. Just go to outdoorvoices.com/crappins and use the promo code CRAPPINS. That's 20% off your first order of $100 or more when you go to outdoorvoices.com/crappins and use the promo code CRAPPINS at checkout.
Let's get back to this Jamaica situation, shall we?
Let's do her.
Let's do her. So we watch the whole segment of Shannon going crazy, which honestly, in my mind, I would have liked to see more clips because it's just like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, watching Shannon like kind of dry swallow while she watches it. And then literally she's wearing feathers on her sleeves. So her feathers are ruffled. Like you just see her feathers on her sleeves, like shaking as she like purses or wrings her hands, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only Shannon could literally get her feathers ruffled at a reunion.
I love Shannon panic face. Like, watching her watch this is like she's in full panic where she's, again, looking like she's cooling down a cup of coffee and her eyes are bulging at the same time. Like, shh.
You know why Shannon Medora killed by the clip show of her craziness?
Well, it's like playing tag alone. I'm always it.
Oh, it looks... This is how I felt when I pulled the mashed potatoes out of the microwave at a dinner party. They weren't ready.
And then we get the lovely clip of Eddie like, come on, she sucks you dry. You can't keep enabling her. What a prick.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Tamara just betraying her over and over again. So, Andy's like, so, some people call you codependent, some people call Tamara a possum face, and some people say that cream cheese has no place in frozen salmon. Shannon? And she's like, well, I used to contact her multiple times a day because I do have good days and I have bad days, but most are bad. And it was a very dark time, Andy.
And Tamara's like, and that was okay, bitch, but I was going through hard stuffs too. I was going through hard stuffs. It's like my least favorite thing is like when people complain that someone else is selfish because they want to be selfish instead, or like, yeah. You know what
it's
I'm
my
saying?
Turn to be selfish.
Yeah, like they want to talk about themselves. I mean, like I actually get it. I actually get what Tamara's talking about, but I just still think the logic behind it's like crazy. Like, just talk about it then. Like, just say,
well,
hey,
and this.
You know?
Oh yeah.
So just say, hey.
And this
like,
has always
this
been
happening.
My problem with it from the beginning is what happens right here, because Andy's like, well, did you ever express directly that you wanted that reciprocated, Tamara, that you needed Shannon? And she goes, and Shannon goes, only on camera. And that's the problem with Tamara. You know, she acts all nice to your face and then she trashes you to everybody else and waits so it can explode at the end of the season. And you look like an asshole. And then she's like, what? Yeah. What did I do? I was the one who was hurt this whole time.
Yeah. And I actually feel like as a whole during this 3-part reunion, Tamara did not get chastised as much as she should have for talking so much shit about Shannon in Jamaica. You know, like they were allegedly squashed their beef and she was talking so much shit in Jamaica and she was filling up those girls' ears, Emily and Gina, and then they took the fall for it. And I just don't think that Tamara got the comeuppance that we all expected at the reunion.
Yeah, she got off possum free because she does what everybody, what every bully does when they're confronted. She cried. She pretend cried and just went,
I was the one who was hurting. It was me.
Like, she's a big victim. And she's correct that Housewives viewers have the worst memory of all people on Earth. I mean, I think that if that was scientifically studied, I would be correct because people just forget. They're like, but Tamara was the one to cry. Shannon must have bullied her.
Yeah. So the talking about the codependency, Kelly is saying that, you know, she thinks the women were – the reason why Kelly said they're codependent is just based on how they simply chose rafts at one of the Jamaican excursions. And we see a flashback of, like, Shannon asking Vicky to go on a raft with her and then Tamara getting mad and asking Kelly. And then Shannon's like, well, I'll go with you. And Tamara's like, no, I'm going with Kelly. You know, this ridiculous thing or whatever. And Shannon's like –
well, actually, I don't think that we're codependent. Not at all. When we travel, I always sit with Tamara. But this year, I sat with Kelly. Did I complain about it?
No. No.
And he goes, now, Shannon, you're entitled to feel how you feel. She goes,
everyone is entitled to feel how they feel. God, I'm glad I said that now. Let's talk about my feelings some more, because I'm entitled. And it is not my intent to suck the life out of people. I mean, I laughed, and then I cried when I saw my house was being sold. I was having fun, and then my house was being sold. And then after that, I danced, even after spraining my ankle. And Gina's like, oh, my God, so many problems. Oh, you did this, then you did that, then you did this. It's exhausting.
This instead of that, and that despite that, and this even though I sat next to Kelly and not Tamara. Like, it's so much.
I was like, please cry about leaving your hot husband again for no reason.
Yeah,
please.
Exactly.
Because that's been a joyride.
Yeah. I do have to say, by the way, just circling back to what Shannon said about that, like, normally she sits with Tamara when they travel, but this time she, like, sat with Kelly.
She sat like, with Vicky, I think she
oh,
was
Vicky.
Saying.
Oh, Vicky, yeah. Just, like, I didn't even, I sort of, I thought what was so funny about it initially was that she said, did she complain? No. No, but like here, as I was saying it, I was like, the fact that this is proof that you're not codependent, that you for a few different times during the year you sat with someone else, that is so hilarious. Like, no, codependency free. Once a month, once every 2 months, I'll sit with someone else.
Yeah.
Once every 2 months when Tamara is being mean to me behind her back and she needs to be shown who the boss bitch is, then I will sit with Vicky. What about that?
Like, yep, that was pretty much it.
Sometimes in the airport, I will go to a Hudson News and I'll buy an M&M's packet. Maybe it'll be regular. Maybe it'll be peanut. Maybe it'll be peanut butter. And you know what? Sometimes I offer the very first one to someone who's not Tamara. Not codependent at all. Not at all.
Now, why are you shaking your head up and down, Tamara?
She's like, because of how you explain things. It's like blah, blah, blah. She goes, well, I'm trying to say that I was having fun. That's what I was saying. I was trying to have fun.
And she goes, but that's how you need to say that, bitch. And Gina goes,
oh. It's like this big sigh.
Yeah. And Tamara's
now,
like,
this is where Gina just starts jumping all over Shannon's ass for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, she just won't stop at this point. Come for somebody else. I don't like to see the young ones go after the older ones.
Well,
we're literally just being neurotic, you know, messes.
Well, I actually understand Gina going for Shannon because basically she was trying to get to know Shannon and she felt like Shannon shut her down and then that Shannon, like, was hostile to her. And now Shannon's, like, saying the stuff that's making her seem very sympathetic. And Gina's, like, kind of like, no, this is, like, bullshit. So Tamara's doing this whole, like, you know, with you, Shannon, it's always meh, which is funny because Tamara has spent the whole reunion being like, but what about me? What about me? What about what I'm going through?
What about I?
So then Shannon's like, well, I mean, I leaned heavily on Tamara this year, which is not a commentary on the weight that Vicky gave me 2 years ago, but I was leaning heavily on her, and I thought that we were close enough that I could do that for her, and apparently not. Apparently she couldn't handle my emotional stress. I was too much of a burden. I understand that. I asked too much. I was too much. I thought she was a better friend than she was. So Tamara's like, oh no. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Not when I'm sitting on a garbage can. I just found a new piece of trash that I can burrow through.
Yeah, and Gina's like, that's not right. That's bullshit that you're saying. That's bullshit. She's like, yeah, because you made me look like an asshole.
I'm like, you are an asshole.
You are.
Okay. You, like, I can genuinely say you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay. One of your own lines is your butt jealous from all the shit coming out of your mouth. One of Tamara's classy classics.
Yeah, Tamara, you don't even get the joke of Jim Carrey talking with his ass in Ace Ventura because you're like, that's normal, right? So yeah. Vicky's
suddenly
like,
I just said everything he said.
Vicky's like, that's what friends are for. That's what friends are for. Keep shining. Keep smiling. No, either you and me. Woohoo. That's what friends are for. Dan Warwick.
How do you fancy the chance to shape the podcast industry? To tell us which shows, which sponsors, and which content you want to hear more of? To change the face of podcasting forever? I mean, it's not going to change your life or anything, but the Acast podcast panel is a pretty cool thing to be part of. Oh, and we'll pay you for your time. Can't say fairer than that, eh? Head to podcastpanel.co.uk and register your interest.
She's like, well, but then to hear over and over again
that I'm exhausting. It's very hurtful to me. Very hurtful. She's like, my friend can't even call me and ask how I'm doing. I'm moving to a house. You don't even see my house. When you moved into your house, I went over to see your house. She's like, and I apologize.
Kelly's like, now you're turning it around. She's like,
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying where I was coming from.
I mean, these people are going so crazy right now.
And Tamra, like... Again, Tamra, what that Tamra, like that Shannon has, I think, a legitimate thing to say. To say, I feel shitty that, like, to hear me vent, like, is exhausting. That makes me feel shitty. And then Tamra is trying to one-up her and saying, well, I feel shitty because you're saying that, like, you know, you can't call me anymore. Like, no, Tamra, you don't get to be the victim because she's reacting to you shading her. Right?
Yeah, being a victimizer.
Yeah, exactly. And this house thing, like, the only reason why you went to Shannon's house is so you could size it up and see if you had to get a house nicer. Okay, we all know why you went over there. It wasn't because you're like, oh, so happy for her to just get a house.
Like, I went to your house to see if you could clean the counters without sludge going down the banquette right in front of your sink.
I mean, she actually really went to her house to be like, oh my God, did you see Shannon's new house? It's nice, but it's small. That's all I'm saying. It's small.
She just went over to Shannon's house to ding-dong ditch her and leave her like a flaming bag of poo, signed David.
Oh, well, looks like there's a bag. It's on fire. There's a fire. Sophie, stay back. There's a fire. I'm just going to step up. Oh, no. I think there might be some cream cheese in that bag. I felt a little, oh, God, chocolate cream cheese, I think. Is that chocolate cream cheese?
She's like, well, I'm just saying where I was coming from. I don't want to make it about me. And Gina goes, me. Shut up, Gina. And then Vicky's like, do you realize your friend's little one over there, little young person over there with your tight skin and your non-existent pores? And Gina's like, yeah, and Tam was there for her. That's it. Tam was there for her.
And then Emily jumps in, and she's like, I think that you feel like she controls the relationship because if she's not happy, then she'll just ice you out, okay? Like, you just almost threatened to murder somebody again. Can we stop acting like you're Dr. Phil right now?
Also, important side note, one of our listeners brought this up to us in Nashville, and I don't know how we overlooked it, that Gina and Brandy are wearing the exact same dress on their respective reunions, which I think is the first time this has happened, that two separate housewives are wearing the same dress the same week on two different reunions.
Yeah, because Emily's wearing Sonia's dress, except Sonia was wearing it white and better. Let's face it. No offense, Emily. But Sonia, when she wore to the New York reunion, she wore that white silk dress with the big flower on the front. And Emily's got kind of the, like, Forever Not 21 anymore version of that.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. So I wanted to point that out because I know it's like that's the sort of thing that people are like, why haven't they mentioned that yet? So, yes, we do see it.
I can't see past Vicky's, you know, faux green, silk. Yeah, crop top curtain dress.
With like a strange, like, here's like a small piece of my waist peeking out. It's just like the worst thing ever. So, hey, why is Shannon Bedore against antidepressants? And Shannon's like, well, I just, you know what? I would have appreciated a one-on-one or a two-on-two in a calm environment. That's all. I would have reacted totally peacefully. I guarantee it. It's like, I don't think so.
And then what was the fight that they had? I mean, this was so much fighting in the episode they're talking about, but she goes, well, first of all, it was a dinner I showed up drunk to. We were drunk at that dinner. And they had a fight about how drunk they were, and they were saying that they weren't that drunk, weren't they? Wasn't that the fight where Vicky and Shannon were like, like, they're not even drunk. It's just that she's crazy.
Yeah, it was just more stuff. And, like, you know, because she was like, she's like basically saying the reason why she got so out of control is because she showed up the dinner drunk. And Gina's like, excuse. I actually bought it. I bought a sign from Marshalls that says, excuse. Gather, excuse.
And Tamara's like, yeah, but it then, oh, because she goes, well, I didn't want it to get volatile. And Tamara goes, it didn't have to get volatile. I was like, you were literally chasing her down the street, making her talk. Okay. Yeah. And then so Gina goes, yeah, you were running around the streets in Jamaica acting crazy.
And then, like, Tamara, I think, gets mad here. It was all, like, very fast. Like, especially because, you know, at this point, Shannon has her, like, she's doing the thing with her hands, you know, where each hand is, like, The palm is like, you know, like, I can't describe it. I'm like looking at my hands right now and I can't even describe what my hands look
wringing,
like.
She's like wringing her hands, right? Like, well, where it looks like she's pantomiming washing her hands in a sink with like a press soap.
Yeah, you know, liquid and she has soap. And she has that thing where she has like all her hands together and her thumb, like all her fingers are together pointing in one direction and her thumb is pointing another. And she, like, she's sort of like getting ready to do read between these lines. Uh-huh. And she's cycling her hands like around each other, like a little, like a plow in a field. She's like,
yes, okay.
But
yes.
She does them slowly. With each point, she like rotates one from the back to the forward. Yes. Like, my hands are like index cards that are working like a plow.
I'm going through my Rolodex of offenses that you have committed against me.
So anyway, she's like, it's not an excuse. It's a fact, Gina. So then Tamara, it's so funny. When I wrote this down, I was like, I'm not even going to understand the logic of this when I read it on the show. I wrote down, Tamara can't believe Gina said that Tamara said that Gina said is a bad friend. Like, so when Gina said at the table, Tamara says that you're a bad friend, Shannon. Tamara is now acting like the victim. Tamara is saying that she was so shocked that Gina said that, and she couldn't believe that. I'm like, how many layers of victimhood can you, like, maintain in a single reunion, Tamara?
Yeah, because that's all she does, like, deflect. Now, this is going to shock you, but I see what she's saying, because Shannon came to this dinner, and she was being a monster at this dinner. She was being so rude. They were talking, and she's like, huh, well, I'll tell you what's fun. Not this! Or whatever she was saying. She was being a total asshole. And then she kind of deserved to get her ass chewed out. But then she was like, well, Tamara is my good friend. And then Gina said something. Oh, really? Tamara says you're a really good friend? Go ahead, Tamara. Tell her. Go ahead. And Kelly's like, yeah, go ahead, Tamara. So this is where they're all kind of egging Tamara on, and she was talking mad shit behind Shannon's back.
Yeah.
But this probably wasn't the best place to. Like, Gina wanted Shannon in this moment where she was riled up and she was drunk and she was going to lose her shit, and Gina loved every second of it.
Yeah.
And so Gina did throw Tamara under the bus for that moment, but, you know, that's what Tamara gets.
Yeah, exactly. Tamara spent all that time talking shit about Shannon, so, you know, it's about time. So then it gets back to this thing where, like, well, Shannon doesn't warm up well to new girls, and you just have to wait for her to come around. And Kelly's like, yeah, she didn't like me for 2 years. Who cares? And Gina's like, well, I think it's weird that I have to, like, wait for – she can just be rude and cold to me, and I just have to wait for her to be nice to me. I have to tell she deigns to like me, etc. And Shannon's like, well, the truth is, Gina, I don't really like you. To me, you're like – an exercise bicycle. I get on, I get trapped, I'm unhappy, and I just want to go.
But then you're always talking. It's like, faster, faster, Matt, I still have sex. Ooh.
You've been nothing but not very nice and judgmental. I'll tell you that much. Tamara's like, well, I'm sorry. No, I was talking to Gina. Oh, force of habit.
And then, Gina's like,
name the first time I wasn't nice to you. Name it.
And she's like, well, the first night I met you, you were screaming that I don't have girl code. And then they show Gina saying very calmly that someone broke girl code or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but the first night I met you, you were trying to talk shit about Vicky, trying to make us not like her. So. Which is also true. But she's just going to, like, drop bombs wherever she goes, you know?
Yeah. So now they start talking about meds again and, like, antidepressants. And Shannon says the reason why she doesn't want to go on antidepressants is that, like, even though they work very well, she has a couple of friends who turned a bit zombie-like, and she's scared of that. And so she goes, so what I did was I stayed home for 6 months instead and didn't talk to anyone and just closed myself off to the outside world. I'm like, so you basically chose mummy instead of zombie.
It's like, yeah, pretty much.
Kind of a lateral
like, I
move.
Wrapped myself in toilet paper and I ate some brains. That's what I did.
I'm like, I'm not sure, like, shutting yourself into your house and, like, just, like, soaking in your sadness is any better than turning into a zombie.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But I do understand what she's saying when she's like, I just wanted to experience the pain, because that is sometimes what depression is. You know, I've suffered from depression for my whole life. And at some point I was like, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this, like, because there are parts of depression where you can fall into it. And it's like, well, now I'm depressed, so I can be in bed all day and read a book and eat whatever I want and just say it's because of depression. There is a part of it that becomes addictive, you know.
Yeah.
Without offending anyone else's struggles that they've gone through. That's how it was with me personally. So when she said that, I was like, yeah, I get that, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, people have to go on medication or take care of their thing on their own. It's not going to be from a bunch of women squawking at you over dinner, telling you you're nuts, or this fucking Gina bitch coming at you so hard for no reason at all times.
Yeah.
You know?
So ultimately, Shannon, basically the way Shannon took everything that Crazy Night in Jamaica was like, you can't handle your life, look at you, you're fat, you've made terrible decisions, you don't, like, get a life, do something with yourself. And so Tamara's like, is that something David used to say to you?
It's like, all the time! God, you just had a nerve in me, Tamara! Like, oh my God, I didn't even know. I totally that's a well in the Shannon. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Everything that comes out of her mouth has something to do with David. I don't know how psychic that was.
The last thing I wanted to do was hit a nerve and make you feel my heart, Shannon. It was the last thing. I never wanted to do that.
And then she does that purse smile with her open mouth. She's like,
yeah. So now Shannon is like bawling because she had a small epiphany there, and she's just like, ha, ha, ha. And Andy goes, so maybe that's why you were reacting. Anyway, when it comes to new boobs, he just starts transitioning away while she's just like hunched over her seat, like in a pile of tears.
Yeah, well, we turned over to being drunk. It's like, geez, can we just dogpile Shannon anymore? The woman is already sobbing. And when Tamara said that, he's like, high five, Tamara, you totally solved it. So then he's like, so everybody basically insinuated that you're a drunk, Shannon, which I'm officially sick of hearing about everybody's alcohol problems on these shows. I'm sick of it.
That's
like every show now. These women are alcoholics, most likely. And if not, they use alcohol too much. Who cares? Let's just accept it and move on.
Yeah, they all have Ubers. So Tamara goes, I don't think she has a problem with alcohol, bitch. I think she's just self-medicated. And then they all go, oh, well, yeah, I mean, well, I do that. We all do that. That's like, fine. We all do that. I'm like, wait, is this really happening right now? Does anyone understand? Does anyone understand what they're actually saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at least they admit it, with even though they don't know they're admitting it, you know. You're all drunks, okay? We know. That's why we watch your show. Yeah. And then Gina, of course, has to try and make it about her. I'm sorry. I know we disagree on this, but I'm just not feeling her right now. She's too much for me.
No, I mean, I don't think she's a great cast member.
Judge. I'm going through a divorce too, and I got small children. And it's a tough time.
I'm like, oh, okay, so your divorce is worse because you have small children. This is a whole scene brought on by drama that you're causing by suggesting she's a drunk and a crazy person. So could you maybe save your... We already went through your segment of fake tears, lady.
No one understands what I go through. I walk through the aisles of Marshalls every single day, and I'm just waiting for them to put up a sign I could buy that just says divorce, and they will never do it.
So then we move on. I keep thinking we're gonna have a different segment, right?
No, typing this is a line. Strong Shannon, a big old Shannon segment.
I know. So I wrote a line thinking we were gonna move into a different segment. Nope. Andy's like, so Shannon, what did you think when they said you have rich girl problems, or when Kelly said you had rich girl problems? And Kelly goes, actually, Vicky said that.
Yeah, because Kelly said that David was a saint for putting up with Shannon. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, that's what Kelly said, which is worse, actually.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I thought, like, when you said that Vicky was favoring Michael in your divorce, I thought, there's a friend I just went to dinner with that's favoring David over me. Kelly's like, whoa, I didn't choose my words right. What I meant was, it must be really hard to be married to someone like you.
No, all I meant was you're very, very difficult, and it would drive any man to divorce. Any man. Not David.
All I meant was, if I were David, I would have jumped off a cliff a long time ago.
All I'm saying, Shannon, is you're just terrible to talk with and to live with, and I can't imagine anyone who would actually then want to have sex with you, too.
And then Shannon gives that face, that...
like, was there an earthquake? Was there a very small earthquake just now? That's her face.
So then Andy's like, this is so much stress. I mean, even watching it and talking about it after, I'm like, I'm exhausted, okay? So Andy's like, so is there anything we didn't address? Anybody want to jump on Shannon for,
anyone for anything any else? Last things? Yeah, I've got a question. Why do so many birds hit windows?
Well, it turns out that they're trying to run away from Shannon.
That's all I was saying.
All I'm saying is that you cause birds to want to commit suicide. That's all. I wish I could. No, I would never say anything like that. I'd never say he's a saint.
So Tamara jumps in with her question. She's like,
I have a question. Are you going to just not talk to me anymore? Are you going to ask me out when we get out of here and just be like, talk this February with my family again?
I was like, you are such an asshole. You are lucky if she even talks to you when you're filming again. You've done nothing but try and bring this woman down, Tamara.
But this is why Tamara's great, because she just knows how to, like, go after people at the right moment and then turn herself into the victim at the next moment. It's kind of, like, brilliant in the worst way. And I'm still Team Shannon, by the way. I just want to say, in case there's confusion, I'm still Team Shannon, because no matter what, I don't know, even when Shannon's fully in the wrong, there's something about her that it just, God damn it, I love her.
Yeah, she cracks me up, man.
Yeah.
And especially because she's anti-Tamara, and Tamara is doing, I mean, she's on the opposite side of Tamara, and Tamara really has been doing everything she can to just make Shannon have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And it's not her first season doing that either. If you guys remember, she also did that in Shannon's first and second seasons.
Yeah. So now, like, when she's like, I gotta ask some ads. So then Shannon's like, well, I talk to my therapist every single day, and I'm working on being less reactive and not being so close-minded to manipulative bitches like you. So I think that maybe there'll be hope.
And then Tamara goes, well, I'm sorry for talking to the girls about my feelings, but I just felt like I couldn't get them out to you because you're like the master manipulator and everything, and I'm the asshole. I'm like, okay. So now you're crying for forgiveness and calling her a master manipulator.
Yeah, she said, yeah, exactly. It's Shannon's fault, it's Shannon's fault that Tamara went and talked shit about her to Emily and to Gina. And Shannon's face is like, this bitch. Can you believe her? 30 to 40 negative thoughts about this fake Kristen Chenoweth across from me.
And then Tamara's like, yeah, but I know it's probably because David treated you like that for so many years, but... And Andy's like, nailed it again. All right, whose boobs should we talk about?
Yeah, when all else fails, just blame it on David. And you know what? I'm actually okay with that. So, yeah, Shannon's like,
you know, I heard that I was selfish, that I was an alcoholic from day one, that I was crazy...
And I guess this is what David had been saying to her for 17 years of their marriage, right?
Yeah, but doesn't this sound like you're total alcoholics? Because
I hear I was selfish and an alcoholic, even though I went 5 years without one drink.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Even one.
I was like, oh, so it was really a struggle to quit drinking.
But I have learned to self-medicate, and any time I feel a little crazy or sad, I just simply drink the booze, but for that only, for self-medicating only, not for alcoholic reasons.
Now I just see Dr. Moonshine and everything's fine again.
And Vicky is just like, well, we're all on a jetty. We're all experiencing this thing called life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing a thing called life. Let's go crazy. It's like, okay, stop. Step away from the prince.
Yeah, Vicky. Yeah, stand back. It's probably like it's 1999, literally. It's the first blowjob I gave in a nod lace.
Bat dance.
So... Then Tamara goes, well, I haven't had phone calls from Shannon for weeks, and I miss those phone calls. I was like, really? The ones that we just saw clips of your husband saying that they sucked you dry and you need to cut her off? Come on.
The same phone calls where you used to like have to sneak out of your bedroom where you were having hot sex with Eddie and go downstairs to the basement to talk to Shannon, those phone calls?
Yeah. And Andy's like, well, Tamara figured that one out. She's like, you know, she's never said that. It's just like a bell. It's just like a bell to me, Andy.
Yeah. So now I'm like, oh, well, that was a great reunion. But it's like, no, wait, there's more. So now we talk about the post-Jamaica drama that happened with Gina and Shannon and Emily and Tamara when Gina went to Shannon after she got her surgery and said, the girls was saying you're mental. And Kelly said, who's Tamara? And then Gina got blamed for all of it. And then Emily was like, she reminds me of my mother growing up being very mentally ill, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. Shannon just looks so shell-shocked by the time that it comes to the set. It's like another segment about me. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, yeah. She looks like she is just about to fall over. She's completely drained.
Gobsmacked, if you will.
Gobsmacked.
So Gina explains why she started stirring the pot. She's like, you know what? I walked into your house, and it was very small. I could tell it was smaller than what you used to live in. Tamara's like, yeah, that's true. And then Gina's like, you know, you're all alone. There's nobody to take care of you. You're post-surgery, and everyone's talking about your mental health, so I thought I would tell you what people are saying. That's all.
And Tamara's like, that's like the time that you're not supposed to be telling people that.
Yeah, she was like, why would you bring something up like that? Does it make much sense to me? Does it make sense to me? No.
No.
She's like, well, here's what happened. After we finished filming that scene, I called Gina and I said, why would you bring that up at a time like this?
And Gina goes, no, what you said was you got a history of not remembering things. And you said you're afraid you're going to lose my children and you want to know everything they said.
And I felt bad for you. OK, then I said, I'm not going to tell Tamara because, you know, I'm not a shitster.
And Tamara goes, I don't know about that, bitch.
full Cartman.
Yeah. And she's like, well,
I'm not going to call my best friend and ask if she said it? Oh, and then you said it's a blatant lie and I'm trying to manipulate. She goes, well, you said.
And she's like,
I didn't say that. You're a liar. She's like, you're a liar. Or it's your selective memory.
It's like, oh.
At which point Shannon does her, wait, that was an earthquake, right? Face.
Yeah, so her face is like, oh.
Left, right. Is anything shaking? Is everything okay? So basically, there's this thing. Gina's basically saying that Shannon was going through a custody battle and was afraid she'd be losing her kid. And Shannon's like, index card hands are out. Index card hands are out. I wasn't going through a custody battle. Don't put words in my mouth. I only accept salmon with cream cheese. That sounds delicious. Thank you, Gina. I will have that.
And Gina really has no excuse here because she's totally in the wrong. So she just whips out a pre-written line that she hasn't been able to use. She's like,
if you don't want me to put words in your mouth, then don't say the words. You're an open book of bullshit.
Like, well, I'm glad you got that one out, speaking of index cards.
And then Shannon, first she does like a huh face, and then she's like,
well, then keep your nose out of it. If you don't like my book, don't read it. Don't read it.
Keep stirring that book pot. I wish fuck soup, Gina.
And Vicky's like, depression isn't even a mental illness.
They really are nailing it with the discussion of alcoholism and depression. I mean, homosexuality, I mean, that's a choice. So Gina's like, depression is a mental illness. Vicky's like, no, that's not what friends are for. That's not what friends are for. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this thing called life.
Oh, under the cherry moon. Am I right, guys? And
so Vicky's Gina's just like, quoting songs from the 80s at this point.
Yeah. baby, am I right? So Gina's like,
And you know what? Look, everyone acts different in divorce. I put my big girl panties on and soldiered on.
No, you didn't. Okay. You haven't even fucking told your kids you're getting divorced yet. So, yeah. A, you haven't dealt with it. And B, you didn't really soldier on. You got an add-on to your house, like some casita shack. You got like Cheryl's She Shed to go hide in when your husband's not off fucking who. I mean, I don't know who you think you're kidding, lady. Okay, but you better back down.
Either way, she does a dramatic monologue with like a quivering lip and she gets a zoom in and she's like, you know, Shannon, the truth is I feel bad for you. I'm going through it too. I got my heart broken too. It's happening to me. Okay, that's all I gotta say. I'm getting divorced too. And then you just see Shannon, like, the lifeblood is returning to her face as she just fully, like, inhales and consumes Gina's pain. She's just like, oh, I suddenly feel wonderful right now. What is this?
Thank you. My batteries were low.
Oh, I'm,
I'll just be over here combing my hair with a fork if anyone needs me.
So, but Shannon's pissed because, of course, here's Gina again. And in a segment about how she went after Shannon and was completely in the wrong for this one, she tries to make it about her and get some sympathy with her fake tears. Yeah. So Shannon just gets anger faced. She goes, "Wow,
I appreciate that apology." And she's like, "Well, my heart, I was checking in, looking bad. Maybe it was bad timing." And she goes, "Well, okay, we've moved on."
And Kelly's like, "She said sorry." She goes, "And we've moved on, Kelly."
And Andy goes, "Well, it seems like you've accepted their apologies and like you hate them." Which was a pretty great moment for Andy.
And then
Emily's like, "I want an apology also for not spending a light of day with us. Like, what was that about?" And Shannon's like,
"No, I spent time with you in Jamaica and today. Today counts. That counts. Two times. Two times in 1 year. That counts. No apology necessary."
So then we talk about how it still keeps going, everybody. Yeah. It's still more. It's just like, just when you think it's done. So they're like, "So what about that lunch then when Tamara was mad at Gina for telling Shannon whatever?" And Shannon goes, "Yeah, well, when you watch them at the deck, she said that my mother is mentally ill, and I see it in Shannon." And Emily's like, "Well, I was just triggered. I was just triggered," which is everybody's, like, escape hatch word, you know? It's like, "Oh, okay. So after throwing your mother under the bus all season on national TV, now you're fucking triggered enough to do it to somebody else. You're an asshole, too, lady.
Yeah. So now we start like heading to the end. We're like, the end is in sight. We're sort of like looking back. Kelly is, you know, Kelly and Vicky, their friendship is in disarray, and Kelly's saying how she used to love hanging out with Vicky, and Vicky's like, I'm fun. I got 5 out of 5 stars on Yelp by a reviewer named Gicky Vunvelson, and she says I'm fun.
You know, they may have said that my cat cancer pills weren't very good for cancer, but no one said they weren't fun.
Yeah. So what's the one moment you would take back? So Kelly says that she wished she never called David a saint. Gina wishes she had never inserted herself in Shannon's business in Jamaica. Emily wishes she never threatened to kill Kelly. And then Vicky, of course, has such a self-serving thing. She's like, "Well, that time when Michael was relying on Steve and I for strength," which is like, LOL. The implication is like,
people
come to us.
And he
asked me, "Please don't share." And I was so selfless. I wasn't even thinking about anything other than helping him with his strength. I wish I had said, "No, don't put me in that position. I'm out.
Yeah. It's like the next time a homeless person comes up to me on the street and says, "Can I have some change?" I'll say, "You know what? Change starts within yourself. Okay? Get a job."
So Tamara, she wishes she could take back the way she vented her frustrations about Shannon, and Shannon's basically like,
"I wish I could take back the way I reacted to that trollop over there in the corner and everything she said."
So then, after an entire 3 hours of talking about who's an alcoholic and whether people need the loony bin, let's have some tequila shots.
I like to call it my medicine, and I mean that in a non-ironic way. It's self-medication. Totally cool.
I am taking 2 aspirin with this.
Does this tequila have cream cheese inside it?
Then Andy's like, "Vicky, you want it to work?" And he's like, "I don't ever need to see that again." And that wraps up the Real Housewives of Orange County season.
Yes. Well, that was a really good reunion. I have to say, I really enjoyed the reunion. So hopefully, you know, onwards and upwards for this franchise. I'm hoping it will get back into the zone. And, you know, it's inching there.
The Auto Zone.
Ha! O'Reilly's! Ha!
All right, everybody. We will talk to you later. Go get shows for the go get tickets for those live shows. Go get your Christmas shirts, your limited edition shirts. And check watchwhatcrappens.com for more announcements, our Instagram, etc. And we will talk to you later on with our Married to Medicine and Real Housewives of Atlanta recap.
Woohoo! Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you're expecting unexpected guests this Christmas, pop down to Tesco, because chilled party food is 3 for the price of 2. That's everything from duck spring rolls to Tesco finest tempura prawns. So you'll be prepared for everything and everyone. However you do Christmas, everyone's welcome at Tesco. Cheapest item free, selected stores while stocks last, ends 1st of January.
Hello, it's James from My Dad Wrote a Porno. Now, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without a bit of badly written erotica by a 60-year-old retired dad. And you're in luck because this year's Christmas Porno Special is available right now exclusively on Spotify for 2 weeks only to get you in the festive mood. Not only that, but you can also listen to all four seasons of My Dad Wrote a Porno, as well as thousands of other amazing podcasts for your oral pleasure. Just head over to Spotify and start listening right now.